The new year is underway, and after a flurry of activity in the lame duck session that concluded 2012, the state legislature is ready to embark on a new session. Good morning, I'm David Fair, and this is WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. With the start of the new year, we thought it a good time to reflect on some of the questionable environmental decisions made in Lansing last year and also look ahead to the important issues to be decided this year. My co-host for WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment is Lisa Wozniak, and Lisa is Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, David, and Happy New Year.
To you as well, and to our guest.
Our guest this morning is Hugh McDermott. Hugh is the Communications Director at the Michigan Environmental Council. Before joining MEC, Hugh had a 22-year career as a journalist in Michigan, including 10 years at the Detroit Free Press, and there he specialized in reporting on environmental issues ranging from sulfide mining in the Upper Peninsula to the Dow Chemical Company's dioxin pollution in the Tittabawassee River. Happy New Year, Hugh, and welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Lisa. Thanks for having me. Good morning, David.
Good morning, and thank you for being here.
As David mentioned, 2012 was filled with some questionable environmental decisions. I'd go so far as to say that last year brought us the most highly controversial and high-stakes legislation as it pertains to the protection of our pure Michigan that we've seen in years. In your opinion, Hugh, where would you start in highlighting the worst of the worst bills introduced last year?
Well, Lisa, there was no shortage of bad legislation proposed environmentally in the Michigan legislature last year. So it was tough to narrow it down, but I think we picked three that seemed to rise to the top of the list of bad legislation. Two of which died, and we hope won't be resurrected, and one of which actually was passed in a form that we didn't like.
Which is the one that went forward?
That was chipping away at our sand dune protection. In the 1990s, we passed the Critical Sand Dune Act that protects our critical sand dunes, which are really globally, very globally rare resources that we take for granted if we grew up in Michigan, but actually are very globally impaired resources. And the legislature passed some legislation that makes it easier to build roads, garages, and homes on the lakeward side of those dunes, which wasn't allowed before.
And very briefly, how does that threaten the future of the dunes?
Well, you know, it's not a massive blow to the Critical Dunes Act, but it is another example of what we've seen the last legislative session, which is sort of chipping away at some of the critical protections.
Environmental
for
erosion.
Resources. Yeah, it's death by a thousand cuts, and these were a few of the cuts.
And some of the local areas along the lakeshore have stronger ordinances in place. What does this mean for those locales?
Well, I just read the story in the paper the other day about a local unit of government who was having to repeal or scale back some of its ordinances in response to the state legislation, and they weren't very happy about it.
And what about the other items that may come back in this session but didn't quite make it through last session but still had some support?
Well, these are a couple of things that we hope will RIP, but we are eternally vigilant. And one was repealing Michigan's ban on yard waste in landfills. And that's a terrible, terrible idea on a lot of different levels. And it was clearly an attempt by the waste industry to get more tipping fees in their landfills. And since 1994, I think, we haven't allowed yard waste in landfills. Instead, we have thousands of people employed in composting operations that provides a nutrient-rich, Michigan-made, value-added product that really is the highest and best use for this yard waste.
We can all agree that there is an excess of landfill space in the state of Michigan, and this is one way to kind of start filling that up and driving the prices up.
Some folks would like to do that, would like to fill up that landfill space. We don't think that's a good idea. We think the best use of organic materials is to compost it and enrich the soils and gardens and parks and landscapes in Michigan.
And there are green jobs in the future with the landfill?
There are green jobs right now in the composting industry. One fellow who owns several composting operations called it guaranteed bankruptcy for his firm and many others should that legislation pass. So we're glad it got held at bay this session, and we hope it will next session also.
So the governor has actually spoken recently about recycling, and is this part of what his recycling plan might look like going forward?
He did speak positively about strengthening Michigan's recycling efforts, but he hasn't come down with specifics, so we don't really know whether composting is part of that. We're hoping 2013 he'll flesh out some specifics on that. We're excited to hear that he's behind that because Michigan has an abysmal recycling rate, and we can do a lot better.
And the legislature did change in part as we move into this next legislative session. Do we expect this particular piece of legislation to be reintroduced?
You know, that's hard to say, but I would say as far as the landfills and the yard waste, yeah, I would expect to see it again. I don't have a crystal ball, but it seems like it got a lot of discussion and there was a lot of support among legislators last year. And if I was a waste industry lobbyist, I would bring it back.
And the last of the three worst might be, let me guess, something to do with energy.
Yeah, we've had a lot of talk about energy the last year. But one of the worst proposals in the legislature this year, which fortunately died, and I think the governor had indicated he did not support that, was repealing our existing renewable energy and energy efficiency standards, which is absolutely crazy. Renewable energy is cheaper than conventional energy right now, and energy efficiency is actually the only energy option that saves ratepayers money. And there are some legislators who want to ditch that program because I guess they don't like renewable energy or efficiency, or maybe they don't like their constituents. I don't know.
I was going to ask, I mean, what is the rationale behind this? I mean, with the governor speaking proactively about energy efficiency, with DTE and consumers actually supporting our existing laws, we can talk about our future laws, but what would be the rationale behind this?
You know, I'm not sure. They continue to say without any backing that renewable energy is more expensive than conventional energy, and that's just not true, and it hasn't been true in Michigan for several years, and the Michigan Public Service Commission has annual reports that bear that out. So other than that, I think it is maybe part of a broader attempt to limit government, and they see, you know, the government involved in setting energy policy, which is perfectly appropriate, but they don't, I don't know, they don't like the policy, and they want to get rid of it.
Back in November, the voters of the state of Michigan decided they did not want the 25 by 25 measure instituted into the state constitution, and there seems to be some lawmakers that are taking a cue from that and saying, well, you know what, the whole energy policy as a whole needs to be done away with.
What we have of an energy policy, which actually isn't very much, is the requirement to meet 10% renewable energy by 2015, which is right around the corner, and we're going to meet that. And also the utilities are required to generate 1% of their total electricity sales to make gains in efficiency equal to 1% of those sales every year. Those are pretty modest goals. Some legislators want to do away with them. The 25% by 25 was defeated at the polls, and the exit polling showed that was largely a problem with people not wanting to enshrine it in the Constitution. In late November, the governor, in his energy and environment address, actually spoke positively about possibly increasing the renewable energy standard beyond 10% and increasing the efficiency standard, and said that 2013 we would be having a broad discussion among all stakeholders and sectors about
that.
And the
U of M is conducting a comprehensive study.
Yes, and we're looking forward to that robust discussion this year, and hopefully it will lead to a stronger renewable energy policy.
This is 89.1 WEMU, and you're listening to our First Friday Focus on the Environment. My co-host is Lisa Wozniak, and she serves as Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. Our guest this morning is Hugh McDermott, and Hugh is the Communications Director for the Michigan Environmental Council. We've been discussing some of the 2012 policy decisions and laws passed in 2012 that threaten the well-being of Michigan's environment, and now we're going to shift our focus on some items that could be beneficial in 2013. And Hugh, it's probably appropriate. Some of the decisions that were questionable regarding energy in 2012 may very well be the issues we have to face in 2013.
Right. Like we said, you know, the governor seems to support looking at possibly increasing the renewable energy standard beyond 10%. And that would be a win-win for Michigan's environment, public health, and also ratepayers, because investing a little bit more in renewable energy will bring down our 60% reliance on out-of-state coal that costs us several $1 billion every year that we send out of state and don't get back. So we'd like to keep some of that money in Michigan. You know, all the arguments about cost and generating an energy portfolio that is more balanced to protect ratepayers apply just as they did in the Proposal 3 debate. We don't think we're going to get 25% from the governor and the legislature, but we'd sure like to bump it up beyond 10% and be competitive with other states.
So the governor has spoken about taking next steps in this arena, as you indicated. He spoke about beginning a conversation in 2013. With the current laws sunsetting in 2015, what would you like to see happen in this next legislative session to ensure that we don't get to 2015 and sort of march off a cliff?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what we're hoping, is that we don't end 2014 with no further energy policy beyond the 10%, because the 10% standard will still be in place, and even the projections of the opponents of renewable energy said that if we don't do anything, we're only going to be at 11% by 2025. So if we want more renewable clean energy in Michigan, we're going to have to pass a law that that requires the utilities to do that, and that's what we're hoping that the governor and the legislature can get on board to do. And, you know, from an economic sense, it makes sense from a dollars and cents perspective. So even if you're not concerned about the environment, it's a savings for ratepayers.
As we look at these energy conversations that are going to occur over the next year, is it entirely possible that the utilities are going to move forward with plans for new nuclear plants and perhaps new coal-fired power plants?
Mm-hmm. That's always in play. I think that Detroit Edison actually does have a plan for a new nuclear plant or an expanded nuclear plant on the
right.
table. That, in terms of planning for our short and medium-term energy goals in Michigan, that's really not on the table because that's such a long process. If it ever happens, it will be decades away. We're looking at the next decade or so, and a new nuclear plant is not a piece of that puzzle. Natural gas, as the governor said during his energy environment speech, will likely be a larger percentage of Michigan's energy mix, especially if the price remains low, and hopefully so will the renewables, and especially the energy efficiency, which is the most economical option for saving ratepayers' money in Michigan.
How important is fracking going to become in our lives then?
That depends on a lot of factors, including the price of natural gas, which drives the demand for exploration.
And it's very low right now.
And it is very low right now, so there's not a lot of demand. In Michigan, we saw a few years ago an explosion in record-setting bidding for the Wright's natural gas deposits that are 10,000 feet underground in a formation that hasn't really been explored before in Michigan. And what that means for fracking and for the environment is we're going to be using, with these wells, 100 times more water and more fracking chemicals that are very dangerous in the process. So while we've had a pretty good track record of keeping our waterways and public health safe from fracking chemicals, if we're looking at 100-fold increase in the use of them and needing to transport them and dispose of them safely, we think it's appropriate to have a conversation about whether our laws are adequate to keep up with that.
And many tout the current water withdrawal tool as being pivotal in this whole process in assessing whether or not we're actually doing damage to our aquifers and so forth. Do you think that that's going to be a piece of this puzzle as we move forward and really ascertaining whether taking these millions of gallons of water out of our aquifers is going to be safe?
Absolutely. We think the gas and oil exploration industry ought to abide by the same water withdrawal rules as everyone else. When those water withdrawal laws were passed in 2008, an exemption was given to the oil and gas industry. But at that time, no one really envisioned this new, more intensive wave of fracking that was going to happen. And the governor and the agency that oversees gas and oil exploration has said that they are requiring by rule the oil and gas companies to abide by the water withdrawal rules, or at least use the water withdrawal tool that tells you whether it's going to be damaged to the environment. But we would like to see that enshrined in law also.
In taking steps forward in both of the arenas that you've discussed thus far in 2013, both in terms of energy efficiency, renewable energy, looking at our fracking or hydrofracking rules and regs, are these all legislative decisions that need to be made?
We would hope so. We would hope that these these would gain the force of law, especially with renewable energy. If the utilities don't make a lot of money helping people use less electricity, so we think that it's appropriate for the Public Service Commission and the legislature to direct them to do so. And likewise, they don't make as much money under our current structure building wind farms or contracting for private wind farms as they do building their own coal plants. So we think it's entirely appropriate that the legislature direct the utilities to do that.
So two of the key players in moving any of this forward are going to be, frankly, the utilities, who during the election cycle spoke out very clearly against Proposal 3 mm-hmm. and yet said that they were very adamantly in support of renewable energy. They kept saying, we support renewable energy, but not constitutionally mandated.
And they are making investments in that realm.
They are. They've done,
absolutely.
To their credit, they've done a very good job in complying with and meeting the exceeding the expectations of the 2008 law that requires the 10% renewable energy. Those that electricity is coming in at a cost lower than the utilities could have believed, than even the most ardent proponents of renewable energy could have predicted in 2008.
So do you see them as active and involved participants with Governor Snyder in moving this forward?
I would hope so, yes. I mean, as they said during the campaign, we like renewable energy. It's clean, it's cheap, and it's affordable and reliable, but we just don't want to be directed through the Constitution to do that. So in 2013, we're going to hold them to their word and say, where's the beef?
It's going to be very important that that be the case, because as I look at the new legislature coming in this month, we see, yes, some new faces, but we also see some returning faces, including the gentleman who put forth the idea of actually repealing our 2008 laws, Representative Franz, who is returning to Lansing, and he was actually named one of the 12 dirtiest legislators nationally for his attacks on our clean energy policies. I wonder what role the legislature is going to continue to play in moving these laws forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, we hope they play a positive role. I mean, individual legislators had echoed, during the Proposal 3 campaign what the utilities did, that they favored renewable energy, but they didn't want to do it in the Constitution. It should have been a legislative prerogative. And now the ball's in their court and in the governor's court. And, if you look at it from a public health standpoint or from a cost standpoint or even from a free market standpoint, renewable energy is a better deal. Upping our 10% is a better deal than continuing to rely on the status quo.
And certainly better for our air and our water. What about Michigan land? What kind of priority should that have in the 2013 year?
Michigan's public lands have been under sort of relentless assault by the legislature in the past couple of years in a lot of different formats. And again, I get back to no one's trying to abolish our state park system, but there's a lot of chipping away at the foundations of what makes pure Michigan pure Michigan. We've seen a temporary cap on the acquisition of land in the lower peninsula and a permanent cap on acquisition of more state lands in the upper peninsula passed by the legislature. We've seen proposals to tax land conservancy lands, which technically aren't public lands, but for a lot of intents and purposes are considered that. We've seen meddling in the Natural Resources Trust Fund, which doles out money to improve public lands to the extent that we have not seen in decades by the legislature. And we've seen, we've seen the sand dune laws and other things that chip away at our public lands protection. We've also seen an agency, the Department of Natural Resources, which has been directed by the legislature not to set aside land that is important for biodiversity and a shift to, away from managing land for nature and for biodiversity and for passive uses and more toward the timber industry. So there's a lot going on in that arena that we need to pay attention to.
And so who's pushing this agenda? I mean, this seems like a pretty cohesive, thorough agenda. Who's pushing this?
Well, the timber industry clearly is pushing the agenda that removes the biodiversity component of the DNR's land acquisitions, and there's a lot of push to expand the harvesting of timber in Michigan. There's nothing wrong with harvesting timber. It's a Michigan crop, but it's often not the best not the highest and best uses for that forest. And certainly we can, with the little tiny remnants of old growth forest we have left in Michigan, we can certainly set aside, some acreage to restore some of this old growth forest in Michigan and also establish some forests that are not grown as a crop for quick harvesting by timber industry interests.
As we conclude our time together, Hugh McDermott, I'd like to ask you this. For many who work in the environmental realm, they felt that 2012 was not necessarily a good year. As we move into 2013, a host of new faces in the State House of Representatives, what is the level of optimism for 2013?
Oh, David, I'm always optimistic, and I don't want to make it sound like 2012 was a complete washout, because we did score some gains. We established a regional transit authority for Southeast Michigan, which the governor was behind, and it was 20 some years in the making, and there were some other gains on policy and law. But we're looking forward to a robust discussion, with our allies and our opponents and skeptics in the legislature, we think that. A lot of these issues are winners for Michigan on, not only environmental but public health and economic arguments as well.
Hugh, thank you so much for your time. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you, David. Thanks, Lisa.
That is Hugh McDermott. He is Communications Director for the Michigan Environmental Council. And a thank you to my co-host for WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. Lisa Wozniak is Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. And Lisa, we'll see you in February.
I look forward to it, David, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to one and all. I'm David Fair, and this is Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU.